Hello and welcome to another episode of Rethink Possible, a joint effort between CISO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Rethink Possible explores pockets of awesomeness taking place in school districts as told by school district leaders. I'm Bob McDowell, your host. Let's dig in.
Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Dr. Christine Flesher, superintendent of Orono Public Schools in Minnesota. And she's going to be talking to us about implementation of a five-phase strategic planning process. Thanks so much for being with me today, Christine.
Thanks so much, Bob, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I think I'd like to kick this off by having you answer the question of how do we get to a place where you're able to talk with folks about how you implement this process?
Thanks for asking. I think it was my experience that by listening to other colleagues, I felt like as we were diving into strategic planning ourselves in Orono, that by listening to other superintendents' experiences and processes, I could help create what worked for our school community and our school board. And it was really through learning and listening that I felt like I thought there would be something to share as others are walking through this process.
Sure. Maybe the best place to start is just giving us an overview then of what is a five-phase strategic planning process.
Sure. And I'll say one thing that as we walked into the planning process, one of my motivations is that we'd had a really challenging, I would say after COVID and board election, it was just challenging in our community, and really wanted a strategic planning process that engaged our entire community. And the hope was that it would also produce some, I would say, collaboration and healing in a way that we could work together again. I would say that was my wish and hope walking into it, because we'd been a community that really did have a lot of shared values and ideas. And I think COVID made that really challenging. So our five phases were, we had engaged in a pre-planning phase, a stakeholder input phase, a core team planning phase, and that really was over 2 years. And then we are in the first year of an implementation phase. And then as we move forward in the future, we'll have a process monitoring phase as we start looking at the data and outcomes of our goals.
I'm wondering, with that pre-planning phase, like, what does that look like to get everybody ready to do strategic planning?
Yes. Well, and it was, for me, there was a pre-planning phase that I felt like was a lot of just learning, listening and learning for our leadership team, school board leadership team. For me, I did a lot of what I would consider external scan of other strategic plans and districts that are both locally, I would say, exemplars, but also nationally, looked beyond schools as well. And then I would say we also, I interviewed a number of other superintendents about their planning processes to ask questions: what worked, what didn't work, what did you use, how did you gather data? And that was incredibly helpful to see those strategic plans and to listen from the behind the scenes of what worked and what didn't. And then I took a lot of that information back to our board in retreat and to our administrative team in retreat. And really then I would say together developed the beginning ideas of a process of what we wanted to do, as well as know that I needed a facilitator. And so did some interviewing of facilitators as well. And I would say at that point was doing a facilitator search in that pre-planning phase. And then once we landed on a facilitator and a process model, we could move forward. Eventually, we had a core team. We called our leadership team our core team. We had an application phase. We had, and we put that out to the entire community, set it out to everyone in emails and on the website. You know, we're going to be doing this. We really wanted to have everyone involved. for the entire community and have at least everyone represented.
Peel back all the layers. How did you establish the core objective of this? What, and then promote its intent?
Yes. Okay. Great question. So a couple things. One is that we've had a robust strategic plan. So there I'm building on a foundation that, frankly, we already have a strategic plan that had, frankly, had we, time had passed and it was probably as we entered COVID about the time to redo the strategic plan and we waited to just get through COVID. So we were building on what we already had, I would say is the one piece. However, we did have a board work session on community engagement. As we entered exited COVID and had a very, I would say, a challenging time in our community and board election, we sat in a work session and talked about how do we re-engage the whole community. And as part of that work session, the strategic plan became part of, I would say, a strategy as well as a goal, that would be a strategy of community engagement, but a goal in and of itself because we already had one. And we decided, I would say, to make it a bigger process and a more community-wide process than we ever have as a way, ever had as a way to really re-engage the community, to also check in and say, hey, these have been our goals. What does everyone think about where we go from here? Because we wanted it to be really open and listen. I would say we had a group of our community that I don't think during COVID felt like they were heard or had input. And so trying to do some of that, I would say, intentional engagement and healing work. That was as much a goal as I would say the strategic direction of what we're looking for, but we wanted everybody to weigh in.
So knowing that you had that base created and you establish kind of what the objective of this round of strategic planning is, how did you design and come up with the design for the stakeholder engagements?
So we, at that point, during that pre-planning, we chose a facilitator and we sat down and talked about that objectively. And I felt like I learned a lot from listening to other superintendents and what they did, because we, in our stakeholder input, we included a lot of different, I would say I have an entire slide on all of the things that we just did, and I can, if you want me to jump into what we did, because we knew that we both wanted, I would say, quantitative data, qualitative data. We wanted a survey that was randomized and, completely that we could trust. But we also wanted to make sure there were also inputs for everyone that wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, I think it'd be important to hear kind of how you went about implementing just that phase of it and if there were any ahas afterwards.
Yeah. Yes, there were. So I'll just jump into... And we planned this with our facilitator and our core leadership team, and then frequently would just check in with the board to say, this is where we're at and this is what we're doing, to see what feedback they had. We started with postgraduates. So that was one of our inputs. We brought in our graduates in focus groups. So we did 4 focus groups with graduates and just asked them both dreaming questions. But we really asked them about their experience. How did we do? What were the things that you thought that we did well? What were things that you think that we need to improve in? So that was our first stakeholder group. That was in the summer while we could have access to some of them being home. And we looked back 5 years in graduates and then called with personal invitations. We then walked into, I would say, staff and student surveys, as well as community. So we built surveys, frankly, in Google Forms that went out to everyone. We put that out. We created a website. About every twice a month, I send out something to our entire learning community. So we really, communicated what we were doing all the way along. This is our strategic plan. This is what we've done so far. Here's our staff survey, or here's our student survey. Here's our community survey. We did things like we went out to, we have 6 cities that comprise Orono. We went out to cities and brought them information. Here's the survey. Please, here's the QR code of where you can get the survey. We put it out we went to every single city, different chambers, just to, again, all of our parent organizations to say, we're doing this. We want to hear from you. Please let us know what you're thinking. It was fun. Our students, we have about a 900 member high school, and we had over 500 of our students completed a survey. Then we also held community conversations. So every single building hosted principals and building hosted a community conversation, so that we ended up having 19 community conversations across campus where principals invited and families, our teachers were our hosts. Who was the main host? The teachers were the hosts. And we asked them to come in and, again, just talk with us. We listened. We had some prompt questions, again, that were similar to surveys about what they hoped for and dreamed for their kids and for their school. And ended up hosting 19 conversations. And they were across our four, we have five buildings. So that was about a January time. And then the last thing we did in that process was we hired an outside, the Morris Leatherman company, to do a full community survey. So we did 800 community surveys, at that point, because it was a different input than just the open-ended one. And we wanted to randomize, and we asked about our previous strategic plan. Like, are these still the values? Are these still the goals? What are we missing? So we asked, and the survey was just on the strategic plan. How are we doing? Give us your opinion. How's the board doing? How's the leadership doing? How are teachers doing? How do you feel connected? And so then we took all of that information and we worked for, I think, about 6 weeks compiling it. We used AI then. As soon as we were finished, we used AI to be a co-partner in it. AI completed their analysis in about 45 seconds, which took 6 weeks. It was reasonably similar. That was fun. And then we took all that information and went out to buildings next. Every single building, and said, this is what we're hearing. This is what the feedback is. And then we gave every building another QR code and a way to provide input on what they were hearing. We brought all of that to our core planning team. So I would say, and we were purposeful in our core planning team about making sure that we had representation of, I would say, various perspectives across our community.
So that third phase of the core planning team, as that's moving on, at least in my experience, as that's moving on, there are two things that become significant. One is the beginning truly of the crafting of the internal and external communications of what's going on. So I'm interested in what that looked like from a process standpoint. And then also with your leadership team, there are facilitation needs. And so how do you go about deciding who's going to facilitate what?
Yes, we had a lot of meetings about that with our facilitator. We used Dr. Mark Wallach. And I'm pretty sure you know him. So he's great. So he was a part of helping us plan and strategize, as well as, so internally we had building meetings. In my communication to our learning community, which is parents, students, and staff, we were frequently saying, this is what we're doing right now. Either please provide input, or, you know, once we got to the core planning phase, like, here's our core planning team. And then after the two-day retreat, we also were like, here they are. Here's pictures of them. We took pictures. Like, this is what we did there. This is what they worked on, all of that. So that it was, I would say, as transparent as we could be. We also, for the entire community, a broad community, we created a website before we walked into the core planning phase and said, this is our strategic plan website. We said, here's who our core planning team is. And here are, for all of those stakeholder inputs, we put a summary on the website. Here's the high-level summary from community conversations. Here's the high-level summary from staff survey, from student survey. It's what we had, and we brought that, as I mentioned, all into the core planning, but we wanted the whole community to see it. So if they had questions, they could. So it existed on a website, and we communicated that it was out there as we went out to different groups. So, and then we walked into that two-day retreat with, I would say, the plan in terms of lots of planning ahead of time. I think we met with our facilitator, I would say, every few weeks throughout this entire time. And then as we got closer, we were down to weekly to create a, you know, a process and a PowerPoint that assisted in all the data. And what we did in the two-day retreat was, well, first, we just brought the group together, said why we are here. And we talked about the past. We talked about who has been Orono Schools, our entire community, just to orient people. This is our fourth strategic planning process we've built upon, where we've been. And then we reported out data on the goals that we had previously. And then we reported out, frankly, on all of the inputs. And after each of those times, after each of those, we'd pause and we put up on the walls throughout the room ways that people could provide input. So input into goals, input into whether there's facilities, input into finances, you know, broad categories, and allowed them to visually, they would do a walk around in the room. And they'd first have time in their small group, and then they would do a walk around and really just provide input to, the input was meant to be to the board and to the superintendent leadership team as we move forward. And we did that throughout those 2 days, multiple times. We also just, because AI is so important as we're, and I think such a, both a gift and a disruptor, we did have a couple of presentations on things like artificial intelligence to get the community's input on it, just to begin to start talking about it. So that's really how we spent those 2 days. And then we communicated that out to our, again, to our learning community. This is what we did. And this is, you know, how we spent our 2 days together.
Yeah. So we jump into implementing this thing.
Yes.
Right. So we've communicated it out. We've used AI to help with that. What did that process look like then to actually begin the phases of implementation?
Well, I'll just say one more thing, too, before we implemented and took it to the board, was that we had a whole writing team process. And then we also involved the core planning team again for a second half day just to vet. There were lots of, I would say, iterations, 6 different iterations between board committees, our instructional leadership teams, our administrative writing team, just to make sure, like, is this really what everybody heard? We walked out of that retreat with, we had, I think it was 171 separate inputs of comments that were made during the 2 days. And we put that all together to analyze it across stakeholders to see what were the implications and where do we go. So anyway, I would say to answer your question, then, you know, the strategic plan didn't dramatically change, largely because the inputs that we had, like, for instance, I'll give you an example on what we heard back from the Morris Leatherman Company was like 97% of our community felt that this was important, as did the children, as did the community converse. You know, once you started looking at what everybody was saying, you're like, okay, well, we shouldn't be maybe switching that up. Maybe we need to tweak it and figure out how we get better. There was a lot of, I would say, from the community. I would say it wasn't like, let's change. It was about, let's go deeper. So I would say what we spent time vetting and then with teams was, okay, so we have 3 strategic goals in Orono. They are scholarship, character, it was relationships, and now it's connectedness. And what we spent time is going deeper, like, what are those strategies then? And what does the research say, and how do we want to move forward? So we organized a lot of the feedback into strategic objectives that we worked on. We took it to the board in June of 2024 and then mailed to the entire, not just the school community, but the entire community, the new strategic plan this summer in July to say, this is the work. And we thanked everybody who's been involved. And now this is the first year, this school year, digging in. We have a continuous improvement process. So each building has an instructional leadership team that's working on those goals. Every building must develop goals for their building under those broad area goals.
Okay. Okay. What does, so far in the year, what has that with the continuous improvement cycling then, what has that benchmarking looked like, or the process of like, okay, so when do we want to be doing the chronology of that?
Sure. It's a great question. We start in the fall with the data retreat. In September, we've done that for years. So we bring in we have building leadership teams. We all come together as an entire district and we look at the entire district's kind of global. And then each building does their own, has some of their own data gathering, but then they have their own that we don't do for the whole group. They can dig dirt deeper there. And we meet about four times a year as a whole. We call the whole team continuous improvement, but each building has, like I mentioned, their instructional leadership team. It's a QCOM. It's how we, the revenue that produces those things are how we've structured our QCOM program. So we call them ILTs. And we back up that leadership team data retreat meeting to the fall professional day. So they meet, then they walk into the fall professional day in each building and talk about goals. And then PLCs then work underneath. They develop their goals under those building-wide goals.
Gotcha. Gotcha. What do you think so far has been the biggest aha as you've gone through this process?
I think I was surprised in a really happy way that when we were taking in data, I didn't know what it was going to look like. I thought it might be, well, you need to go in a real different direction, or it might be, we need a significant amount of change, because it had felt that way during COVID and it had felt really, maybe a lot of discord. But when we did the inputs, there was a lot of commonality. The things that everybody wanted weren't really different. And the things that we were working on were the things that people wanted us to work on, and wanted us to just go deeper and get better. So I think I was surprised when the data started coming in. I was like, wow, you know, this is really a lot of good news. And so that, I don't know that I think I was surprised about that. And that there was, once you get everybody in a room talking about it, you know, because we had lots of times where we were together, either in community conversations or planning, that we could remember that we had a lot more in common and we have a lot of the same dreams and goals for our kids.
Yeah. Yeah. As you think ahead to this process monitoring phase, so I know you talked about your benchmarking. Is there anything that you've kind of got in your mind that's going to change or be different than what you're currently doing of that benchmark monitoring as you get into more of a process monitoring phase?
Yeah, I think that's what we're working on right now. We've had a traditional, what I would say, data package of what we look at every year for in the area of scholarship, in the area of character, in the area of connectedness. Connectedness is our new goal. And frankly, we are redeveloping the kinds of data that we have. So for instance, we're looking at belonging for, you know, what percent of our students belong to, are involved in a state high school league activity, are involved in a club at the high school, that self-report on belonging. So we are developing, I would say, some new data points that we'll be asking kids about. For instance, do you feel like you belong? Do you have a friend group? Are you connected to an adult at school? So those are some, or an adult outside of the school. Those are some of the pieces that we've been trying to put together so that we have data on those. We've had data, we just may not be examining it in the same way, so that then we can begin to see the trend data. I'm a school psychologist by training, so I love data, and we have data, and I have had data for a long time that we do look at. But I think we need to develop new data points. I do think as well, we've been looking at our connectedness. We just hosted a breakfast for a broad community range, again, part of our community engagement. And I think that is, it's like, how do you measure some of those things that we don't think about measuring in the same way? We have our benchmarks and we have our, you know, MCAs and MAPS and NWA and all of the, you know, kinds of reading per minute. We do that really well in scholarship. It's measuring the other things about belonging and that really, we heard loud and clear, that really matter to our community.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think for those that are listening, if they're saying, wow, they're in the spot that you were a while ago, right? I got to take on strategic planning. I'm looking for some exemplar stuff. What would be your one, two, or three things that you'd say, all right, if you're doing this, these are the things you have to do and make sure you nail?
I look back on it. I'm so grateful we did it. And we're as probably as big. We must have had, I don't know, 1,500 people weigh in on this. I would say communicate all the way along, internally, externally. You have to be really thoughtful about that. And frankly, have a communication plan all the way along. I would tell everyone that I could to include all, even when it's hard. Be willing to sit in the room together. Try to figure out what you can agree on. It's not easy work. But at the same time, we're all a part of the same school district and our children are here together. Can we come together on what we believe our kids need? So I would say be willing to include all voices. And I think my last, I would say this is probably not maybe process oriented, but listening, choose the right facilitator maybe.
Yeah. Right. For your community, for your district, like what's a match?
Yeah. I'll give you a moment that there was a moment that was very a storm in the meeting. And Dr. Wallach read a poem on forgiveness just spontaneously and said, you know, can we move on? Can we all move on? And it was really good. It was hard. But it was good. And I would say, you know, and maybe that's about being really open and communicating with your facilitator on what your community needs, as well as what everybody needs. It was a profound moment, I think, where the whole community really thought, okay, it's time. Can we move on from COVID? Yes or no? Yeah. And it was good.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing how you went about strategic planning. I really appreciate you being with me today and talking us through that.
Well, thank you for your interest, Bob. It's always great to talk with you.
Today, we've been talking with Dr. Christine Flesher, who is the superintendent of Orono Public Schools, and we've been discussing how to implement a 5-phase strategic planning process. Thanks for listening once again to Rethink Possible.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rethink Possible, a joint effort between CISO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators.